For a long time, I used like my mess ups as motivation, but like, how are you going to have motivation from a negative? Like, where, like, you can only get so much motivation from a negative thing, you know? And I've really been trying to work on, like getting motivation from like a positive thing.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Solid. We're excited to be with you once again here today. Today we did something a little bit different. We had some young adults here with us, Mason Mannering and Alex Young. And you'll kind of hear the podcast here today, but Mason is both of them really. They're both just mega disciplined, great young adults that are living a solid life right now. And they talk about the foundations they've learned at home, what they're doing with sports and academics. They just got, what's the word I'm
accepted.
Looking for? Accepted to BYU, both of them on an academic scholarship. So that's exciting. And you'll hear it today. This is going to be a good one. You can have your kids listen to and have your friends listen to. So pass it on, like, subscribe, and share it with as many people as you can. It's interesting, whenever we talk about family or God, it seems that the algorithms out there tend to block a lot of that for, it's just crazy. And we've got a big mission ahead of us. Jeff and I take our mission very seriously, and we really want to get this message out to as many people as we possibly can. This will be the first of many younger adults that we'll have on. It was very, very good today, so enjoy.
So did you guys both grow up in St. George?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yeah, for the most part. I lived in New York for a little bit as well, but...
New York?
Mostly
like,
Utah.
Like New York City or...
No, so we were in upstate New York, so right outside of Rochester.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. a cool area.
Mm-hmm. Super cool.
We went up there because we went and saw Palmyra and all that.
Okay, yeah.
Like golf 4 or 5 years ago, my wife and I did. Awesome place.
So cool.
We flew in and we saw... Niagara Falls, mm-hmm. right? Then we went to Rochester and we stayed in a hotel there. They were remodeling while we were staying in it, but it was kind of cool. It's like one of our favorite trips. And then we went from Rochester and we saw Palmyra and all that area all in there.
Yes. Beautiful area.
It's a really cool area. I love it.
So how long did you live there for?
We were there for about 2.5 years.
Okay. So what were you, your parents moved there for a couple of years for what?
My dad grew up there when he was younger, so okay. He kind of just wanted us to get a different experience outside of Utah,
yeah.
I guess.
That's good.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. And how long ago did you come back?
Like 2.5, 3 years ago.
Okay.
By now, so.
Cool.
What do you like better, Utah or New York?
I kind of like both. They're super different. I mean, Utah's always been my home, but it was good to see a different part as well.
Yeah.
So I like both.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Good. Well, good. So, I mean, just so everybody kind of knows who we have on here today. So, we have Mason Mannering.
Mason.
Right? And Alex Young.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had any young men and women. Are you 18?
Yeah.
You're 18. Alex, you 18 yet?
17.
You're 17.
Mm-hmm. I'll be 18 in June.
You're both still in high school, right? And we haven't had any, I don't want to call you youth because you guys are almost, you are an adult technically.
Yeah, kind of.
And Alex, you're almost there.
Uh-huh.
But you're the first like of your age group we've had on our podcast. And I've just felt, Jeff and I have been talking, we go, man, you know, there's a lot of really strong youth that are up and coming that are just setting good examples for the rest of us. I mean, you the way you live your lives is a good example to me, and there's strength in that. And I remember growing up as a youth, Jeff and I kind of grew up a little bit different. We can kind of talk about a little bit too. We have our different backgrounds, but I remember people telling me all the time, you're such a great example to me. And when I was like a young man, you know, and I thought, I'm a kid. How can I be an example to you, right? But believe it or not, there's a tremendous amount of power, and you guys probably know that in the way you live and the examples you are and everything else. And some of the reasons I wanted to have you on, first of all, and then so people know how I know you, Mason, is I know your parents, and the way that I know them is Lexi and I go to a gym and know your mom from, you know, just years of working out there. And then over time, and then we've gone on a couple of dates with your parents, and I've got to know your dad a little bit, and he's a neurosurgeon, right? Is that correct? Right. So he does well and does that. And he helped my wife out a bunch with her back. She's got some back issues. So he helped out with that. Anyway, I think the world of your parents, and then getting to know you a little bit because you started going to the gym and working out. I was very impressed because I go at like 5 a.m. and I'd see you there.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Anytime I see a young man or young woman doing that kind of thing, like most of your buddies aren't doing that.
Some are.
Some are, but not very many.
Some are. Yeah.
Or I should say most people your age aren't.
I don't think
that.
I've ever been to the gym at 5 a.m.
Jeff still hasn't made it that. Yeah,
no, dude, I still need to. I guess I still need to step my game up, you know?
Yeah. Jeff just does it later in the day.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, but it's nice in the later day, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. You're getting up early and go to the gym.
Yeah.
What gives you the desire to do that?
You know, in the day, like, you only have so many hours.
Yeah.
I feel like I play a lot of soccer, so mostly in the evening, it's all soccer. Yeah. And to get the workout in, you have to go before school, kind of.
Awesome.
And normally I have to go so early because my family will do a scripture study together in the morning pretty early. So that's why I have to go so early.
Yeah. Awesome. That's good.
Yeah.
Is that pretty
cool.
Well attended at your house? Like, do the kids pay attention? Does everybody, or is it pretty crazy?
There's some good days and some bad days.
Yeah. Sometimes people are still sleeping or.
Yeah. It's everyone just kind of comes down, falls asleep on the couch, and then they wake everyone up again and do it. But it's really
does that help you guys, you think, doing that in the morning, first thing?
I think it brings us closer together.
Do you?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. How many siblings do you have?
Including me, 4.
Awesome.
And they're all younger, so.
Okay.
You're leading the ship. You're the...
Trying.
You're the captain.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's good. So now you play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are you any good at it?
He's really good.
He's really good.
Like, how good is he?
I don't know.
Have you won
really
any championships
good.
Recently?
We just won a state championship last year.
Boom!
Heck yeah!
So
yeah,
awesome. Good job.
Now is he like a star player on there, Alex? This is why we wanted you to bring Alex because she'll tell the truth.
I'll brag about you.
No.
I mean, awesome. I think he stands out.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Among his team, but there's a lot of good players. So.
I've heard that. And you went and played in Europe a little bit too.
Yeah. Just a couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to go play in Spain for a couple of weeks, kind of try out for a pro team.
Now, but that's not all. They wanted you to stay.
Yeah. They wanted me to come back, sign like a contract for like a month or like a progressive thing, just like further evaluate me. But I mean, it's so hard over there. Like, you're so alone in like a residence with like 20 other I was like one of the younger guys, like they're mostly 20, 19.
Yep.
I rather stay with my family and figure things out before a mission and stuff like that.
That's pretty cool though. I mean, was it a little bit tempting to go, oh my gosh, I could potentially play some professional soccer.
It's always been my dream to play professional soccer. So that was a really hard thing to kind of be like, you know, let's not do it. But
you've got other priorities right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's awesome, dude.
Why do you have those priorities? What's inside of you that made maybe kind of gave that opportunity up for now? What are you going to do?
I know since I was young, I've always decided I want to go on a mission.
Okay.
Church? The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay.
I kind of had this experience where I was rolling into a lot of training to go play in Europe. And I kind of, it was weird. Like, I prayed about it and I was like, is this right? And he said, yes. But he said, like, I've given you like these talents, but you need to like give back to me. And I was like, it's so clearly, I need to go on a mission.
Wow.
So I'm not gonna like kind of betray him. You know, I know he wouldn't be like mad, but I think I need to serve him first before I serve myself. Right.
Awesome.
So, what a great perspective.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
It is.
I think very, very rarely does somebody, especially when you're young, I mean, make decisions that are selfless to be able to help other people. And I think that's a testament to why, obviously, you've done well in soccer, too, I'm sure.
Thank you.
You know, that you have that perspective. So that's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were just reading last night. I think it's in Luke where Jesus says, lose yourself for my sake and you shall find yourself, right? Is basically what it says. I didn't say it exactly how the scripture says it.
Yeah, but
you obviously believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Definitely.
So do I. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So, soccer, and then you also competed in mountain biking for a while.
Yes.
And you did pretty good with that too.
Yeah. It's kind of an old pastime thing when I was the beginning of high school, but I really enjoyed it. It was a good It was fun.
Okay. Now, yeah. Alex, do you play sports too?
I do a lot of running. So I did track and cross country all throughout high school.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So athletics, fitness is important to both of you. Mm-hmm. What do you learn from that? Like why do you think that's an important part of life? Tell us about that. What are all the benefits of being maybe on a team, learning how to compete, learning discipline, being fit? Like to hear your thoughts on that from your point of view.
Do you want to go first?
Go ahead.
For me, I've kind of learned this from my mom. Exercise just makes you feel better. Like, it's very like...
Your mom doesn't work out very much, so I don't know how you learned that from her.
She might be one of the... I mean, I know you're very consistent. I don't know you very well.
He's pretty consistent,
yeah,
too.
You're really, yeah, but she's a really good example of me, of like consistency, because she's there every morning. And that's like her time as a mom. Like, that's kind of her free time for the day, you know? She's taught me that like exercise is really important to like maybe mental health or like just like being happy in general. And then for me, like, I'm kind of like, weirdly obsessed with goals kind of. Mm-hmm. So like once I start something, I just kind of like keep going. I don't know if it's a bad thing or not. Like sometimes it could be a bad thing, I'm sure, but, yeah, just like pursuing. So like with sports, like just keep going. And sometimes I don't even know why, but I mean, I was going to wake up at 5 a.m. and figure it out. So
did you learn that behavior from somebody or just model it from your parents, or where did that come from? Do you think that's just kind of inside of you?
I know I'm keep saying my parents a lot, but I think it was something I was kind of like, they say I was kind of born with it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like it's just kind of something that, maybe it's something I have. Everyone has gifts, I think. Mm-hmm. So maybe cool.
Cool. That's awesome. Because I think that is a secret to success, right? Is just, and I don't think it's weird at all. I think I say this all the time, we all have addictive behavior. We just choose where we direct it, right? And if you can direct it to something positive, you can have a tremendous outcome. And it sounds like both done that.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. What else I hear too is like your parents have been such great examples. And do they intentionally tell you these things, or do you just kind of pick up on it? Or are they constantly feeding it to you verbally, or do you just see it? Or how do you think you've picked up on these things that they've taught you?
I think they don't really like come up to me and they're like, you should exercise. Like, I think they're really hands off, in a good way. I think they lead by example kind of. Especially my mom. I know my dad's kind of on and off with working out, but I think he's getting ready to do an Ironman with some friends.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, and yeah, it's been really cool to see him like get ready and train, and just how it changed him, like his mood and stuff. Like he's so happy, like, and cool. I could see the effects of what exercise and fitness has done.
So that inspires you.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. I'm like, my dad's doing Ironman. Like, I could do anything, maybe.
Yes,
yeah. But yeah.
Hey, that's, you guys so been cool. Doing cold plunges too.
Mm-hmm.
In your pool.
Oh, those are horrible. They're so bad.
Are they bad or are they good?
In the moment, they're horrible, but afterwards, you feel so good.
Why'd you guys start doing those?
It was kind of like your thing, and then I just kind of started doing them with you. But
yeah, I feel bad. I'm talking so much. Out of nowhere, like mid-January, like it was the beginning of the year, it was really random. I'm like, I was not feeling it like this year. Like I was like, I need to do something crazy to change things up. Yeah. And like the thought, there's so much stuff on Instagram about like polar plunges. And I'm like, and my buddy was doing it at the high school, Hudson Morby. I don't know if you guys know him. And I was like, I'm going to try it. So like one morning I was like, our hot tub is like connected to the pool.
Yep.
So it's not heated or anything. So I just like got in it, and the first day I just did one dip. I didn't like stand or anything. It was horrible. Like instantly went and got in the shower. And I did that like every day for like 3 weeks, like really consistently without missing. I think I wouldn't do like Sundays. And then now I like will stand for 3 minutes, and it's been like, it's so like empowering like after.
That's awesome.
And it like starts your day off like really good. So that's one thing that I've really enjoyed about it.
So mentally, you feel like it's made a difference in your whole beginning of the year. You were not feeling it. Now you're going, now, if I can do that hard thing, I can do other hard things. Is that what you're saying?
Totally. Throughout the day, like maybe even like with living solid lives, like your podcast is, like maybe like temptation. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, I don't even need to be tempted by that because I already did something really hard this morning.
Really cool.
Right? Like, so that's one thing.
What a great perspective.
That is awesome.
So Alex, so I love what you said. It sucks, but you feel great after. Cause I've tried it. Cause I do a cold plunge every day and mm-hmm. I've tried to tell people that it never gets easier either. It's, mm-mm. it always sucks.
It's always bad.
Yeah. But you said you feel great after. So how long have you been doing it? What do you feel like after? What is that feeling that you get after that's good?
I don't know. I've only been doing it for like a week. Okay. Like I just started doing it with him when I came to visit, but I don't know. It's like you get done and you just feel so much happier like, yeah. than before. There's like no worry anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You plan on doing it when you get back to New York, probably?
I'll try.
You might keep up
it's
the trend.
Freezing there, but I'll try. Yeah.
Just jump in some snow.
Jump in some snow. Yeah.
It's easier to get a cold plunge in New York for sure.
Yeah. It's colder, yeah. right? Here when in the summertime, unless you actually have a cold plunge, it's pretty tough to get cold water. Mm-hmm. You got to yeah. get a bunch of ice.
That's why I ice. Built, or that's why I bought a cold plunge.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't, you know, I was spending, I don't know, $50 a week on ice or yes. something like that. I'm like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. I might as well just buy a cold plunge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're building a good foundation to how you are both living your lives. Now, what about like diet? Do you pay attention to that very much as in your younger ages? I know when I was younger, I didn't pay as much attention to diet. I would kind of ate whatever I wanted and I was cool. I mean, I felt like I was good. I felt like I was still healthy, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I didn't eat good, but I could get away with it. How about you guys? Is that how you are? Or do you kind of watch your diet, try to eat healthy?
Or? Yeah.
I definitely try to eat healthy. I mean, I don't.
She's so healthy.
I mean, I'm yeah. not so healthy, but I mean, I definitely watch what I eat. Just
you do. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Try not to eat too many processed type foods. Mm-hmm. More natural stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, not so much with you, Mason.
Like this morning, like I probably would have eaten like cereal or something, and she came over and she made like eggs with like onion and like asparagus in it. I was like, wow, like you're amazing. So. I mean, that's a good example of like how like food is important to her.
That's good. I like that. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
so,
I think when I was young, dude, I would just, I would. I would eat anything.
Ramen noodles, all that stuff.
And I was like, at your age, I was a boxer. So I was in the gym so much. I was burning so many calories. So I would like eat milkshakes and like as much as I could just keep calories. Otherwise, I'd be falling asleep in school.
I know. Yeah. That's, you can get away with it. Because you're like that. You're both your metabolisms are cranking right now.
Of course. You're young,
right? Makes it nice. So all of these things you're doing, I think, are just wonderful because today it's different growing up today than it was when we grew up, you know. And I kind of wanted to ask you what it is like in school today. I mean, there's technology and there's
cell phones. And a bunch of like different ideology, right, in schools. And I mean, it's weird. Let's just face it. I mean, it is weird that the environment you guys are growing up in is so polar opposite of the environment we grew up in.
Yeah.
And I think technology and social media are the, you know, having a phone in your hand constantly and everybody having an opinion. And then seeing that, you know, just not only has it changed kids, but I believe it's also changed teachers, right? And I guess that's my perspective because it's not like I've been in school recently.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest challenges you see right now with all these things in school? What are kids struggling with? What do you see between those who maybe are staying on the right track and those who are falling off? What are some things that are going on?
This one's you.
I'm not in school anymore.
And also, is it different in Utah than New York too? I'd like to know that too. Like, are there differences in cultures?
I think what you're saying about social media, that's definitely like a huge thing in school. And I think it can be really easy to just compare always. You're with people all the time, all the different social groups. And I think it can be really easy to compare yourself to all of them, which can be kind of hard.
Yeah.
But I think school can also be a really good environment where there's a lot of different people that can offer a lot of different things for you in your life. I didn't really have a great time in school in New York when I was there. And that was kind of a challenging part of my life, just mentally and everything. But just things I noticed here, I think social media is definitely a big one.
What was it about school in New York that was tougher than in Utah?
They're just really focused there on academics. And you're like constantly having work on top of sports, trying to make church thing's a priority. And so you're just like constantly busy. There's just constantly going from one thing to the next. So I feel like that was just, it was a little crazy.
So you feel like because they were so focused on academics, maybe your quality of life suffered a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. And so are you comparing that to Utah? Like you feel like in Utah, people are more focused on quality of life? Is that how you feel, or you just feel like they're not so focused on academics?
I feel like they're not so focused on academics and kind of, I feel like it's a good balance of both. I mean, you have a good balance of school. You still go and learn and have experience in a classroom, but then you have a lot of other things too. Like, I mean, dances are super fun. You have, all the football game things with like student sections, just where you have a chance to be with everyone and connect with everyone.
So you feel like maybe the social and community focus is a little bit different. I mean, I agree with that. I lived in Idaho. So I left Utah. I mean, I was 20 when I moved away, but it was a culture shock for me. Like I tell everybody, I think it's a good thing for people that have lived in Utah their whole lives to leave, because I always said when I moved away, I would never move back to St. George, right? Until I moved away. And then I went, oh my gosh, I didn't realize how blessed I was to live here. Right.
Yeah.
Because it is awesome. Community focused. Like what I tell people all the time, like in Las Vegas, I lived in Las Vegas for 10 years. And you know, it's not that people are rude. They're just minding their own business, really, you know? And then we moved back to St. George. It was weird for us because like people would walk up and like offer to buy our kids dessert or something, you know? And you're like, this is so weird, you know? Where in Vegas, it was almost like they didn't want kids around. And in St. George, they're so grateful that kids are around. And it just, I see that community focus and you feel it when you're out and about too. So I think it's a powerful thing. So what's your guys' thought process? So obviously you're going through school, you see those challenges, Alex and Mason, obviously you've been in school here the whole time, but then you went and spent time in Spain with some high level athletes. Do you feel like that the culture in America that you're growing up in, did you get there and were you kind of culture shocked? Did you have that perspective, or you feel like you could understand the way they were living?
Yeah. For in Spain, at least, like the most boys I think were done with school, other than the ones like at the academy of the sports team that I was at. I think it was through the soccer or the football like program, I guess. I think for the football, soccer world, at least, education isn't really their focus. Like they're just trying to go sport all the way. At least in the residence I was in, people honestly just sat around on their phones all day. It was actually, I wanted to go home really bad because
there was no social live face-to-face interaction. It was all on their phones.
Yeah. And if they did hang out, they love FIFA. You guys know what FIFA is, right? Yep. If they weren't in their rooms, just on their phones, they would be in the kitchen just cooking and leaving, or in the living room playing FIFA against each other. But that was about it. It was pretty, not a lot of.
Do you feel like that maybe gave you a competitive advantage when you got there? Did it open your eyes? Like, oh my gosh, these guys are obviously playing professional soccer or getting ready to. Do you feel like, did it make you feel like, oh my gosh, I actually could rise to the top of the sport if this is who I'm competing against?
Okay. I just want to say one thing. So I'm not like, I don't know what the word is, like fraud or something. It was not like full professional. Right. So it's like,
that's good. Yeah. We understand. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Like,
it's
yeah,
like,
we
the,
get it, yeah.
It would be like the teams right under the professional team. So like
NBA or the NBA D League.
Yeah. Right? So like right where they're getting pulled up to go pro, but no one there is like pro. Yeah.
No, we get it, man.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just didn't want to like tell people that like I'm pro, cause I'm not definitely. Yeah. Yeah, for me, I actually wasn't competing against them because, you know, there were some people going to different teams in La Liga in Spain. So the one I was at, actually no one else was at. But I did have a really crazy experience there. There were some other boys from here that came that all made the tryout to go. And there was one day I had a really cool experience where I did have a competitive advantage. Do you guys have time for the story?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So apparently, I wasn't familiar with this, but as soon as we got there, there were five of us that went. Two younger than me, but really close to my age. two seniors, me and a senior, and then two graduated, sorry, that was really confusing. Yeah. And apparently you can drink at 18 there.
Yep.
And so it's our last day of practice for the week, and practice there is so hard. It's like nothing else here. And it really gets you down, like everything gets you down there. And we're going home, and they stopped at like the liquor store, and like they bought so much alcohol, and I'm like, and some of them were members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Only two of them were, me and someone else. But the other ones weren't. And I didn't mind that, like, they did that. But, the other member, like, was one of the ones that bought alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are you guys doing? And they brought it to our, like, residence, and they got, like, really, really drunk that night. And it seemed like a lot of fun, because they were, like, right in my room with me, and they're like, you should just have some, like, it looked really fun. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, like, I told myself I'll never drink, like, in my life. Mm-hmm. And I have, like, a really addictive personality, so I'm like, there's no way. Like, I'm so addicted to
soccer. Were you a little bit tempted, or like, no, not at all?
It was hard, because I actually wanted to.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, they look like they're having so much fun. I left the room. I went to the bathroom. I opened my scriptures, and I was like, Dear Heavenly Father, like, you got to tell me something right now, or I'm going to go drink. It was really bad.
Yeah,
and
tempted, yeah.
Yeah. And I opened a super powerful scripture. It was like, my son, I actually remember this so clearly, like, give ear to my words, like something about my commandments I've given thee, and you will be prosperous. And I didn't drink, and they all actually went clubbing that night, because you can do that at 18 too. Yeah. So I let them in at 3 a.m. and the next day, two of them were playing on the team, and that was the day I did, like, amazing. Phenomenal. I knew I was blessed for that for some reason.
Wow. You know why? Because you made the hard decision. In fact, my son's over here. He's a soccer player. He knew you played soccer, so I brought him with. He was excited to hear this today. But we were talking about doing hard things, right? And it's not just doing hard things like working out or playing soccer or giving it your all or hard practice or whatever, but it's also choosing to avoid temptation, right? And choosing a harder path, which is the next day that you have more energy, you have more clarity, more focus. And doing that, I mean, imagine if you're doing that every day or even every weekend, if you do it for a year, you made that choice 52 times better than those other kids.
It's hard.
Imagine how much better, not only is it hard though, but imagine how much better you get. And then you get this reward. It's kind of the same to me as like a cold plunge, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it sucks while it's happening, right? But the effects afterwards are so good. It's like, I'm so glad I made that decision, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I'm proud of you, dude.
I think what's really something you said that I thought was powerful as well is you already made the decision before you ever went out there that you weren't going to drink. You made that decision months and years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, you can comment on this if you want, but I think if we come across a situation that is, we have a decision to make, right? We've already made the decision before we ever get there. It's much easier to stay on the right path, right? Than to make it in the moment.
Or I mean, you were tempted too, right? You were tempted. Yeah. But then, to make a decision to go pull out your scriptures, dude, is powerful. Mm-hmm. What do you think made you choose that? Because, I mean, as a parent, I would love for my child to make that decision. All their friends are partying and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't make those good decisions, dude. So it took me some hard learning to not make those. And I wish, but I can't change it, right? I can't go back and change the past. But I can go, I want to make a better decision for my children. And if my children would make a choice like that, how proud I would be as a father, right? So what made you choose to take that action? Like, hey, I'm going to go pull out my scriptures and maybe I can get some positive inspiration to avoid temptation. Like, what do you think in the moment it was that made you do that? Do you think it was habit? Do you think it was, were you listening to your parents' voice in your head? What was it?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think normally for me, I'm like super like second guessing. So sometimes when I'll have a thought come to my head, I'm like, was that me? Or was that like maybe God, like trying to like be like, hey, you should do this. Yeah. For me, like in the scriptures, like if you read something, like that's a really clear answer.
Yeah.
So like, I think I prayed before and I was like, not getting like an answer. I was probably getting an answer, but I probably was like, was that the answer? Like, kind of want to go clubbing.
Yeah.
But, I was like, I just need to know for surety. And I think a lot of times I have turned to the scriptures, like, throughout my life. Like I was saying, like, my family does a scripture study every morning. It's like a super important thing to my life, like the Book of Mormon. So it was a key thing to helping.
Yeah. I mean,
I love that.
I'll tell you, for those who are listening, you know, adults and young people, right? Because there's probably going to be some of your friends and people that listen to this. What you're talking about now is so powerful, because the foundation we lay in our homes makes all the difference when we get in the real world, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, think about that, dude. It's just like so important. Like you've said it a couple of times, like with fitness, you know, your parents, your mom going to the gym every morning, and that's kind of why you go. Your parents doing a scripture study, even though some of your siblings would sleeping through it, wake them up, right? But it was just that habit. I mean, it tells us a lot. I mean, as parents or any of us, right, as we're growing up, like the things we do on a daily basis do set an example for other people to follow and make good decisions or bad decisions based on the example that we set, right? It's pretty cool.
It is.
It's amazing to hear. You got some great parents, dude.
Thank you.
And yeah.
It sounds like you know that, but sometimes it helps to be reminded.
I mean, isn't that cool? And you know, now look, you know, it is possible to have good parents and have kids that are still rebellious. So you're very blessed to have both.
Well, because, I'm definitely not perfect at all. So
yeah. Now, well, now
none of us are.
Yeah.
But if you'd have known me, you're pretty close.
No, but I do want to. Just lost my train of thought on that. What you just said. What did you say? You just said, "Oh, you're not perfect." I want to get back to that in a second because we're not perfect.
None of us.
But Alex, I wanted to just hear a little bit about how about your parents. I mean, what is it a similar situation in your home? Is it talk about that a little bit? And because you're obviously following a solid path, live a solid life also. So
yeah. So my family also does morning scripture study at 6:45. Well, we try to. Right now I'm doing early morning seminary there. So I get up every morning and go there at 6 and do a early morning church class with my younger brother. But I definitely think my parents set a really good example for us as well. I sometimes we'll walk into my room early in the morning and I'll see my dad kneeling on by his bed praying and studying his scriptures. And that's kind of something I've always remembered about my dad, is I'll always walk in the morning and see him doing that. And that kind of sets a really good example for me and my siblings. He always asks us, when we were younger, he'd ask us before we went to school if we put on our armor for the day. And that would be like him asking if we said our morning prayers or did like a little morning scripture study.
Oh, cool.
So just like little reminders.
When you do that armor, it's like in the Bible, right? It talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of spirit. Do you actually like mentally do that? Or how do you do that? How do you put on your armor?
I think it is definitely a mental thing.
Yeah. It's important.
Mm-hmm. But I think there's definitely a difference in your day when you do those things in the morning.
Yes.
I think it just kind of sets your day up. The choices you make that day, the things you do, I think go along with what you do in the morning and habits that you make.
Seems like you're both genuinely happy. Do you feel like you're happy?
Mm-hmm.
You have joy in your life?
Very happy.
Do you think that has to do with any of this stuff we're talking about?
Definitely.
There's no doubt, right?
Yeah.
So you talked about you're not perfect. So we make mistakes. We all make mistakes. So when we make a mistake, what do you guys do to maybe not beat yourself up, learn from it, move forward? Sometimes you might beat yourself up. You want to talk about that a little bit? Just when you do mess up a little bit, what do we do to? Because we're all going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to make the right decision every time, right? We're human. We fall short. Talk about that a little bit. How do you get back on track when that happens without falling into depression or feeling too bad about yourself?
I think it can be really easy to beat yourself up about something. Like say you did maybe not make a great choice or you did maybe do something wrong. It can be really easy to just put yourself in a spot where you just tear yourself down and say, oh, I'm a horrible person. Like, why am I doing this? But I think it's important to just always remember who you are and what you stand for and to know that you're not perfect. We're mortal. We're living here on earth and it's like, we're going to make mistakes. So to just keep going and moving forward.
Awesome.
I think
that's great.
But you
great response.
I love that.
Yeah. For me, I'm a pretty bad example at this. I think I'm really good at tearing myself down for a long time.
You take it hard when you mess up.
Yeah.
Beat yourself up.
And
real quick, not to stop your train of thought, but do you think that has helped you in sports? because I feel like I used to be very similar to that, and I feel like it almost helped me sometimes. Yeah. Where it was like, dang it, I should have done better. I refuse to let that happen again.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think from a sports perspective, it's a great thing. Like, it's almost like you messed up. Like, you just got to, like, fix this. Like, you're never going to let that happen. It's so motivating. For a long time, I used, like, my mess ups as motivation. But, like, how are you going to have motivation from a negative? Like, where, like, you can only get so much motivation from a negative thing, you know? And I've really been trying to work on, like, getting motivation from, like, a positive thing.
So good.
So, like I was saying, like, I'll mess up. I'll tear myself down for forever. And I'll, like, wrestle with it. And it takes me a long time to finally, like, figure it out, even though I'm, like, trying. But now, like, even with sports, like, when I mess up, like, I'll tear myself down fast. But it's so good to look at the positive, because I think it's a confidence thing a lot, too. Like, you can't destroy your confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
Or you'll never be able to really get back up, because you can only take so much.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, that's awesome. You say that about confidence, because I agree with you 1,000% that as you get more confident, you're less likely to beat yourself up about making mistakes and knowing, hey, that's just what happens. It doesn't change me as a person because I made a mistake. It doesn't make me a bad person because I made a bad decision. It just means I made a bad decision. I make a better one in the future, right? Yeah. And you can't learn. But I also think from a positive perspective as well. So what are some of those things? Because I think it's such a mature response from you, dude, at your age. I mean, I wish I could go back and at your age have that much maturity. So what, give us some examples, like what are some positive things versus negative, of beating myself up versus having a positive perspective, let something positive drive you.
Yeah. Like, do you mean with sports or just life in general?
Anything. Cause okay. Whether it's in sports or whether it's in life, it's pretty much goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah, totally. Sports is life sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time for me. Now I'm, like, kind of struggling to think of stuff. So, like, from a positive perspective, with sports at least, like, I've always kind of struggled. This is, like, personal to me. I have always, like, had good experiences with club soccer, like, going to Spain. Like, I thought I was pretty good in the community to be selected to go to Spain. But for high school soccer, for some reason, I always struggle finding a good role in the team. Last year, and even this year as a senior, I think I'm always kind of having to fight for my spot, and I never know, like, why. High school soccer is just a different game, I think, than club. And I always look at it negative. Like, already this season just started, and I'm already kind of looking at it as a negative. Like, man, like this season's gonna be horrible. Like, mm-hmm. I'm already, like, having, like, it's hard to make the starting 11, like, that type of thing. I'm like, I'm a senior, I should be in the starting 11. But at the same time, like, I feel like I should have earned that, but maybe I haven't all the way yet, you know? And that can turn into a super negative thing for me. I was actually talking to a buddy on Monday. It was his P day. So I was messaging. I used to play soccer with him. And he was like, dude, you have to be thinking about this as a positive, because, like, there's a reason, like, why this is happening to you. Like, it's just gonna make you work harder. Like, there's a positive, like, maybe there's a reason, like, it's gonna help you grow more, you know? I feel like that was a really bad explanation.
No, that was great. It wasn't bad at all. In fact, it gave me two things. And one is looking at the positive, like looking for the thing that will cause you to grow. And then two is messaging your friend who gives you great advice. And I think, I don't know, but maybe we can segue into that, because it sounds like if you're messaging friends and they're giving you advice like that, who you choose to spend your time around says a lot about who you're going to become in the future, right? There's a saying that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
And I think it's very true. You know, some of our parents, you know, I know when I was growing up, I didn't always hang out with the best crowd. And, you know, my mom would be like, oh, you know, but Jeff's different. But I wasn't, right? I was exactly like the kids I was hanging around. Or if I could have hung around a better crowd, and I tell my son all the time, if I can make one change when I was in high school, I would have changed the people I hung around. Not because I didn't love those guys, or, you know, they're awesome guys. I still love them. They're still my friends today. But knowing how much better of a man I would be today if I would have chose better friends, right? But I didn't have that awareness at that level. So it sounds like both of you have that awareness about who you're spending time with. So are you guys careful about who you choose as friends? Has it just happened like, oh, these are just my friends? Or did you select great friends because you knew they would help you? Or talk to us a little bit about who you choose to spend time around.
I mean, in high school, I feel like I tried to expand my circle. I used to be really shy and I would not talk to anyone. But I kind of just decided I was going to get to know a lot of different people. There's like a ton of different groups in high school, but I'm like, you know, I'm not going to stay with one group. I'm going to expand and get to know a ton of different ones. But I found myself always in different crowds, even if they were a little different from me. That just meant I had to remember who I was, and I had to still follow my same standards, even if that meant I would maybe be a little different from them. But I don't think you necessarily have to like stay away from certain people. Just don't be afraid to stand up for yourself.
Love that answer.
Great advice.
I mean, yeah, it really is. I mean, hey, Jesus, right? He spent time with everybody. Now, if they didn't treat him very well, he did end up taking off, right? But you know, yeah, you love everybody. I love that. And you know who you are. And that was really good.
There's a lot of wisdom in that.
Yeah, I don't know if you can top that one, Mason.
I can't, but I can kind of, I really can't, but I could add to like what she's saying, just because, I mean, once you lived here, at least we used to hang out with a lot of people together. We'd like hang out in big groups together. One thing that I thought was really cool that she did was for her, like movies, sometimes like sometimes people watch rated R movies. Sometimes they're PG-13 movies. They're actually probably should be rated R. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like the lines are really blurred. We can hang out with any group of people, but she'll be like, am I allowed to say this? Mm-hmm. She'll be like, yeah. I don't like this movie.
Yeah.
She'll be like, can we like go?
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, come on. Like, I love this movie or something like that. And we'll end up going, and she's so good about it. And now, in the future, the next time we'll hang out with the people, they don't watch those movies when we're there.
That's awesome.
And she completely changed it. And everyone knows, maybe Mason and Alex are there, and some other kids started like agreeing with it too. Like, we don't need to watch those movies. Like, so
that's awesome.
See, it's, and this is important. You guys, I think, understand this, but it's cool to have high standards. It's cool to have virtuous standard. That's the cool thing, right? And at the moment, it may not feel that way, or you may think you're being judged or whatever. But I love about that example. Like with my wife's the same way. In fact, even when we were really young, like if there was a movie that she was even borderline, she would just walk out. She wouldn't say anything. She'd walk out and just I don't want to watch that. And she wouldn't try to get anybody else to follow her. She just by her example would do that. She still does that to me today. Same type of thing. And I respect that more and more. And you know what? Everybody else obviously respects that too. That's why when you go back and spend time with them again, they know what you'll accept and what you won't. That's powerful. And I think we need more people in the world like that. So what you guys are talking about today, you're going to help more people than you even realize, I think. I think at your ages, man, if we could just teach this to everybody in the world, these standards, the world would be a really incredible. The world is an incredible place, but it would be like a whole nother level, right?
Yeah, I think one of the thoughts that come to mind is there's a saying that says you're never going to get better results from lowering standards. You know, sometimes people want to lower their standards to make everybody else feel better, you know, especially in business. As you guys, you know, get older and you start going into business and stuff like that, you'll start realizing sometimes it's uncomfortable to have high standards, especially in business, right? But you're not going to get better results from lowering standards. So it's cool for me to hear you saying, look, I know who I am and these are my standards, and anybody can choose to do whatever they want, but I have standards. And then other people raise to those standards. It's like, you know, that's what people do, right? You find leaders by setting a certain standard and the leaders raise to that thing. I'm sure it happens in sports. You know, we know it happens in business. It happens in life. It's just not as easy to see in life, but what a
and not only
example.
Are you blessed at the time when you make that decision, but you'll be blessed in the future. A lot of those relationships and people that you're impacting right now down the road, I believe this because I've seen it in my own life, come back later and go, hey, I remember when you did this back then and I really respected it. And at the time, maybe they were even not very supportive of you. So that, all that scripture you read when you were in Europe, you know, yeah. same type of deal. You'll be blessed for these things.
And it's like the credibility you earn as youth, you know, as you get older, there's something you can't teach and that's credibility, right? You just, it's something that's earned, you know, where people look at you and go, I know who they are and I respect them for making these decisions. You can't go back and change that. You know, you either have credibility or you don't. And that's what earns you credibility in life, where people have respect. I was talking to my son the other day about just our responsibility to have a good reputation, you know, and our reputation is so important, and that's based on the actions that we take. And it sounds like you guys have built an incredible reputation, and it's by making these great choices, and it's going to serve you in so many areas in life. You know, like I promise you later on, you know, you go try out for a professional soccer team and you're there and a coach says, we either have Mason or we got another player. And if you have a better reputation, your skills could be exactly the same. Right. But they're going to choose you because of your reputation, because they know we can count on him. He's going to show up early. He's going to give it his all. He's going to be a positive example to the team. Even if the other player maybe even was a little bit better, the person with a better reputation is probably going to earn that spot every single time. Right.
Amen. So it's good.
It's awesome.
So talk about, you just got accepted to BYU as well. Congratulations. Both, right.
I think
you both did.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Boom.
Good job.
So academic, sports, both, which, what did you get accepted for? Like,
so the soccer program, is kind of like, it's not like D1 or anything. It's like kind of like a club thing.
Yep.
So like
sports.
It was
academic.
No. It was just academic.
Very good. Yeah. That's
mine
awesome.
Was too. Just academic.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
So what are your plans? College, mission. You said mission.
Yeah.
What else? What are you currently right now? This could change, right? But right now, what do you want to be? What do you want to do?
So I'm planning to go to college for like a year. And then once I turn 19, I'm planning to serve a mission as well.
Cool.
So we'll see what happens with that.
I like it.
That's kind of my plan right now.
Okay. And then you don't know after that. You'll see where, mm-hmm.
see where it takes me.
All right. I like it.
For me, just kind of, I'm trying to finish out this high school soccer season. Yep. I want to make it a really good one. And then I'm just finishing out my papers now. I want to leave on my mission in the middle of the summer.
Cool.
And then after, I think I'll go to BYU.
Okay. And then do you know what you're going to go into at this point, or what would you like to do right now?
I just know I want to play college soccer so bad for BYU. So
that's awesome.
Hopefully open tryouts. I'm like contacting them now about some stuff before, so that I can know them when I come back. But
good.
Yeah.
So soccer, right. that's plan A.
It's plan A, but
that's awesome.
It's a risky plan. Sports are always a little risky, but
you're young.
You have to take risks.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to take a risk, then you can't ever expect a big reward, right? So I don't know. I love risk. I'm that risk taker, man. I like taking risk. I think that's what pays off. And so I respect it. I think it's awesome. And I think we need more people in this world that are willing to do that. Yep. You know,
I would agree.
Think about Jeff Bezos starting an online bookstore, right? I don't know if you know, but he went to an Ivy League school and was running a mega successful hedge fund and left that hedge fund to start an online bookstore. And everybody just thought he was crazy. They thought he had taken this mm-hmm. massive risk, you know, and you look at these people that have massive success, and it's all because they chose to take a risk, which at the time seemed crazy to everybody, you know?
Yep.
So, but you know what you're capable of, man. So
I
think you can do some big things.
The hard thing is, I've heard like, the saying, like, you can never have like a plan A and a plan B, like, or it will never, your plan A will never work or something like that. Have you guys heard that?
Yeah.
Or like, you have to burn the bridge down behind you.
Yep.
I just don't know if I can do that. Like you guys are saying, like, it's so hard.
It is, but you know, and I don't know that I totally agree with that. I think you can have a plan A and a plan B. You just have to learn commitment and sacrifice and not be tempted to go the easier route. And so I think that's where most people lose when they have plan A, plan B. They always have a fallback plan. They lose because when it gets hard is when the temptation sets in to go do something easier. So as long as, you know, that you have this plan A, like, this is what I'm gonna do. I don't care how hard it is. I'm gonna do whatever it takes to succeed there or do everything and leave it all out on the field, right? And then at the end, if it doesn't work out, you'll never regret it because you go, I gave it everything I had. Yeah. But I think where you see a lot of people have regrets is when they have a plan A and a plan B and they didn't give it everything they had because it got hard and they punked out. It was uncomfortable like a cold plunge. So they got out early, right? And people do that with life. And then they look back on their whole life. They look at themselves in the mirror and go, man, what if I would have given it my all? Like, what if I would have actually went for to be a pro soccer player? What if I actually would have given it my all? And then they live their life in this regret, you know? And then they're trying to make their kids do the same thing and live their dreams through their kids, you know? Rather than their kids being inspired by incredible parents like you guys have and say, you know what? I think I can't accomplish anything, you know? So
yeah, all these disciplined actions and things and exercises you're doing now are going to benefit you as you go into this next phase of life. I mean, you're, the cool thing about life is it's, you always hear life short, but it's also long. You know, you're young, so go for it. Why not? I mean, you go for it. I mean, you're 18 years old. So, I mean,
yeah. What's the worst that could happen? You know, so when I started in business, everybody thought I was crazy. You know, they just thought I was nuts. And I had people that I worked with and they were like 45, 50 years old. And I was working with them at like 17, 18 years old. And they go, oh yeah, Jeff, you're crazy. And I was going to work with Brandon. They told me I was nuts. And I said, you know, when I just looked at it, like the worst thing that could happen is I come back and end up where you're at. Like that's the worst that could happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, but the best thing has happened is it happens. I become mega successful and it happened.
Well, when you have the discipline, so Jeff had a lot of discipline. He was a boxer growing up. He had a lot of discipline. So when he got in the business, that discipline helped him outlast other people, right? Yeah. And so same thing, you know, you go into soccer, let's say, you're going to have the advantage over a lot of the other guys, right? So, you know, that you keep that in mind when you go to BYU, you know, the hard work you're doing now, you know, the studying you're doing, all the spiritual stuff you're both doing, that's going to give you an edge. And then, you know, God's in control and he's going to guide you. And if you're supposed to pivot, he's going to show you the way, right? You're living in a way where he can guide you. You got the Spirit with you. So as long as you got that and you follow that, you're good. So you guys are awesome.
You are. I'm so glad we did this today because I think it's not only going to inspire a lot of youth that listen to our podcast, because we have quite a few young people that listen to our podcast, but it's going to inspire a lot of parents. Yeah. I'm just telling you, I had someone text me yesterday from Florida, a guy that he just got my number through a family member. I was like, hey man, I love your podcast. I'm like, how in the heck did this guy figure out our podcast? But I just think about guys like him and I'm like, man, how inspired is he going to be by listening to young adults like you guys? And I know it inspires me. You know, I've got my son standing right there and listen to this. And I'm excited to, you know, I want to be a better parent, a better father. And I think about, you know, looking at you guys, I always look at that. I always compare myself to other parents. You know, you talk about compare is not always great, but I think if we're comparing ourselves to say, hey, what could I do better to raise better children? And, you know, I think if my kids turned out like you guys are and they are doing these things, I'd be a pretty proud dad, you know? So it's awesome to hear. I'm proud of you guys, and it's exciting. It's inspiring to have you guys on today. So thanks for coming.
Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We really appreciate having you. We have some solid t-shirts and hats, but they're not here yet. So we'll get you some.
You guys are the best.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna hook you up there. So, no, but yeah, thank you very much. And you both just were awesome today. So I'm excited to get this message out. Going to help a lot of people.
Sure.
Thanks, guys.